Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, the only moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee.
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. Folks, it is draft week. What an amazing opportunity we have in front of us to see what the Tennessee Titans do. We're going to get into some different directions they could go. We're going to get into a mock draft with Chris Sanders. I think what we're going to do, we'll run two segments. I'll do my mock, and then he'll do his, and we'll critique each other's mock. We'll run it through. I'll use the ESPN mock draft simulator and rock it out like that. We'll go three rounds, see how that works. I think that's a good thing and opportunity to talk some shop. You know what I mean? And we got David James over here making it happen. What's up, man?
What's going on, my man? It's draft week, finally.
It is draft week, finally. And man, there's just so much when you have this type of it's like Christmas NFL style. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, but there's so many directions the Titans could go. So I guess let's look at that. When you talk about the number four overall pick and a lot of the buzz that's going around. We did our NFL Nation mock draft and I had the Titans selecting Sonny Styles just simply based off of some things that I've heard, some reporting that I've done. But there's so many directions that they could go. They could go Avrell Reese. They could go David Bailey. They could go Jeremiah Love. They could go trade back. So what I want to do in this opening segment is just look at some of the options, right? And so we know at number one is going to be Mendoza. We don't know at number two and three what's it going to be, right? You look at David Bailey. He obviously is someone that the Jets have interest in, as is Arvell Reese. That's going to have a lot of bearing on what the Titans do. You look at the Cardinals at three. Do they take one of those pass rushers? Do they take Jeremiah Love? Really the first spot where Sonny Styles is truly in play is at number four. And I know when you look at the stats, right, and that's something that a lot of people – because, you know, Sonny Styles is a guy that – plays a position, and I know in this day and age with there's just such an analytical and such a – it's not about just drafting good football players. It's like, okay, well, how can I get the maximum value? If I draft Sonny – if I draft Jeremiah Love, he's the seventh paid running back. And let's throw that stuff out the window, right? So we'll start with Sonny Styles. And just to run through some of his numbers, 6'5", 244. 10-inch hands, okay, cool. 4.46 40, 1.56 split, 43.5 vertical, 11.2 broad jump. I think the three cone is interesting, 7.09. The short shuttle, 4.26. That 4.26 tells you, because you always, if you get a guy, especially a bigger guy who's short shuttle, is quicker than his 40, it lets you know, like, he's quick and fast. So that's a good thing to have when you're looking at a guy that you're trying to just drop in the middle of the defense, a guy that you're going to have match up with tight ends, a guy that you will at times have match up with slot receivers. You need to have him be able to carry routes down the middle of the field. We talked about all of these things. Now, when you look at Sonny Styles, some of the pros, I mean, you're talking about he led the team with 82 tackles, 6.5 TFLs, 1 sack, 1 interception. Now, I know when you draft a linebacker, number four overall, the general consensus, the idea among a lot of people is, oh, he has to be Ray Lewis. Folks, there aren't that many Ray Lewis's walking this planet. When you look at a player like Sonny Styles, I feel the pick is validated if that's the direction they go. Now, is it the direction I would go? No. It's not. I would go a different direction, and we'll reveal that when I do my mock. But I could understand it. And the argument against Sonny Styles is, oh, well, Robert Saleh has done it with an undrafted guy in Azeez Alshire. He's done it with a third-round pick in Fred Warner. He's done it with a high-priority free agent in C.J. Mosley. He's done it with a was Quincy Williams. I think it was a second-round pick. Let me just double-check. He's done, but nevertheless, he's done it with Quincy Williams. None of these guys were premium picks. Yeah, he was a third-round pick, Quincy Williams. So he's done it with guys who have not been first-round picks. Does that automatically mean, oh, no, you don't take a talented – miss me with that argument. Sure, he's done it with those guys, and he's found guys that fit in the scheme that have been able to play it at a high level. But why not look at it from the other perspective of, man, if he's done it with guys that weren't top-level prospects coming out, imagine what he could do with a guy who's a legit top-10 prospect coming out. So for me, I'm not going to be totally against the mistake, or excuse me, the pick and call it a mistake, right? I think when you look at this, and it's something I asked Mike Borgonzi about when I asked, if you go back and you watch that press conference, because one of the things is pre-draft pressure, I said, hey, is middle linebacker, I know across the league it's not a premium position, but is it a premium position in this scheme for this organization? And he stopped short of saying yes, but he did talk about a certain linebacker that's a really good player. So, I look, he's on the radar, okay? I couldn't really put a percentage on it because, I mean, that's one thing. This year, it's airtight over there in that building, man. Like, airtight. It's like they got guys signing NDAs, you know what I mean? It's hard to get information. But nevertheless, Sonny Styles, I let off with him because he was the guy that I picked in the NFL Nation mock draft that showed on Tuesday. Hopefully you guys got to catch that. But look, again, that's not the direction I would go. Okay, so next, let's look at the pass rushers because these are two guys that you consider. I feel if either of them are on the board, they're going to be the pick that the Titans make. If either of them are, but that if part of it, again, you got 2 and 3. There's Arizona and the Jets. We know the Jets are taking one of the two. So you got that. The Cardinals, I think, are the wild card. So let's say Avril Reese is there. Reese and Jim Wyatt does a really good job of talking to these guys at the draft, the NFL Play 60 event. He talked to them on Wednesday. And Reese, one of the things that Reese said is they showed him how they would use him, and he was excited about it. And I think you kind of got opened up to that a little bit with Mike Borgonzi when he spoke on his pre-draft press conference last week. And one of the things he said was that, hey, you know, this is one of the most explosive players I've seen. This is a guy that has definitely shown signs of being a dynamic pass rusher. This is a guy that you could do a lot with early. And one of the things he mentioned was that Leo, that Joker position, right? And when you have a guy with this skill set and one that's still learning, that's the upside. Like the projection, it's exciting for a coach, for a scout, for a personnel person, for a general manager, because you're like, yo, I could pick this guy and it could, but at the same time, it could. So you want to make sure that you have a plan with Arvell Reese, and Borgonzi said the plan. And I think we've kind of seen this before where a guy is drafted and he has a specific role to allow him to impact immediately. And then you develop him more as a player as you go along. But obviously, when you take a guy top five, you want immediate impact. Reese, in my opinion, could have immediate impact. And just to spin it back real quick to Sonny Styles, that coverage aspect that he brings, because basically what you're doing is just like looking at how the impact can happen with these different guys. That coverage aspect that Styles brings, the ability to clog the passing lane and make it a little bit difficult for the quarterback to layer the ball in that mid-range passing game in the middle of the field, that subtle delay that gives Afemi Oladejo a chance to seal the deal rather than just being near the quarterback. So keep that in mind. Now, as we spin to the other aspect of this and look at Reese, he's obviously a guy that's going to get you sacks. I mean, look, I know he had, what, 6.5? Asked to do a whole lot of different things at Ohio State. So when you look at his ability to get to the quarterback, it's there. The way he's able to be productive and not really have a true pass rush plan, imagine if you put it together for him. So obviously Reese is the guy to consider. Is he the guy that I take? No. Staying along the pass rushing theme, David Bailey. Same type of role with Reese. He clearly, now when you talk about David Bailey, the thing I like is he does have a pass rush plan. You can see a well-coordinated plan in that he knows that his get-off, his outside rush. Now, he's not bendy like Harold Landry, right? But he still can corner. And you look at that get-off, and he uses that to set up the spin move, to set up the speed to power. I've seen people say he's not powerful. Well, he has that speed to generate power. Leverage is more important than power. Like brute strength, like you're not always just going to be able to bull rush. And oh, by the way, if you go back and you watch the Arizona State film, there's film of him bull rushing a guy who I've seen some mock the Titans to the Titans at 35 in Iheanacho. So, look, the bull rush is there. But to me, having that repertoire, the ability to use your speed, get the lineman off balance, and then jack him up and use the power to run through him, I think that's something that you want. 14.5 sacks. I think Bailey's the top pick on their board. In my opinion, it goes Bailey, Reese. And that's where it gets difficult. Styles and Love. And you got to put Carnell Tate in there, who we'll talk about briefly in a moment. So Bailey, obviously, with the Jets, that's, you know, what you're hearing a lot of now. That would be my number one pick. That's the first option I would go if everybody's on the board. He's not making it past, in my opinion, 3. So you got Bailey, Reese, Sonny Styles. Let's go to another non-premium position. And now we're looking at Jeremiah Love. And we've talked about Love extensively. I think he's in play for the Cardinals at 3. At 4, you know, with the Titans, you have that tandem, right? He and Cam Ward opening up the stadium next year in February 27. Listen, that's a lot of excitement. And you have this guy, he another instant impact. And this is what I like about these guys that we talked about. They all, I think, are going to have instant impacts. Now, Sonny Styles, his impact is going to be a little more under the surface, whereas Bailey and Reese, hey, you know, everybody, it's all about getting sacks, right? And when you see a sack, you don't look at how it happened. You're just like, oh, he sacked the quarterback. Same thing with touchdowns being scored. And Jeremiah Love, and I the whole argument that, oh, well, he's reliant upon the offensive line, here's a newsflash. Every position is reliant upon the offensive line. So, another newsflash, this offensive line wasn't terrible in run block. Actually, that was their strength. Granted, Kevin Zeitler's gone, right? Granted, Lloyd Cushenberry's gone. Now, will Zeitler come back after June 1st? Who knows? But in the meantime, when you look at this, You take a dynamic back like that, and you put him in that offense, and now you got something cooking. And it's exciting. And you still have an opportunity to address the pass rush at 35. But for me, one of the first things I said, and I'm still going to stick to it, the pass rush, that has a premium like a quarterback does. Lower level, but there's a pass rush premium. To me, when you look at this, typically your best pass rushers, they're first-round picks. So you have to consider that. But Love is the guy I would pick. Love is the guy I would pick. And I'm not going to say Bailey in this case because, again, I believe he's gone. But if Love is on the board, me, what Teron Davenport would do is I'm picking Love. Now, what I felt the Titans would do was Sonny Styles, and that's why that was in the mock for the NFL Nation. One other guy that you got to talk about is Carnell Tate. And to me, you know, the whole thing about the 4-5, people say it's that's fast still. That's well enough to be able to get down the field. He showed his ability to make big plays at Ohio State. So I think when you look at that and then you pair that with this Titans team, what they need, he fits right in at X. He's a guy that, you know, could come in and work that out. I want to see that X position, though, because you have Alec Iremanner, who is going to compete, fourth-round pick last year. But, you know, this team needs a dude. And I think there's outside Jordan Tyson. You mix him in there, too. And Tyson, you know, to me, he would play like that Malik Nabers role in the Brian Daboll's offense. The guy that worked primarily outside, but you move him across the formation. He's the one that you generate those yards after catch opportunities for. So those are some of the options you look at, but don't forget about the trade down. Dallas is desperate for a pass rusher. If Reese is on the board and they're talking about 12 and 20, you need to make that trade. Because now you could probably get a Jordan Tyson and an Akeem Mezador and still at 35 do what you need to do wherever direction you want to go, whether it's cornerback, guard, tackle. Like, there's multiple things. So to me, the ideal situation is trading back, but it always takes two to tango. You always say, hey, well, you know, so-and-so's not there, just trade back. It's not as easy as just pushing a button and saying, hey, trade back. You know what I mean? You have to have someone interested. Dallas, to me, is the best landing spot. Keep an eye out for the Rams as well. So they're, you know, on win now mode. So if they feel that there's a guy there that can make the difference, I wouldn't be surprised if they move up. So those are a few of the options to look at. I wanted to open up with that. We'll get into our mock draft next. We got Chris Sanders, Run TMC, so stay tuned.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Yeah. All right, music fades and the lights dim. Where are we going? And now, coming to you live from Utah. Starting at small forward for your Jazz. Out of the University of Alabama. Number 21. David Benoit.
And now, one of the best singers of all time, Jeffrey Osborne.
On the wings of love. Hey, man, I hope nobody's listening in their car because they're going to crash.
Oh, man, no, you've been killing me for the last 4 weeks, man. I'm like, hold up, I gotta dig into my bag of tricks, man.
You had to get in your bag, Jeffrey.
Man, I had to. Man, how you been, bro?
Hey, man, life's been good. No complaints. It's draft week, so
yeah,
you definitely have to say life is good. What's going on your way?
Actually, man, I'm here at Ohio State, man. Just had to take care of some business up here. And I actually went up to the facilities and met Patricia and met Ryan Day. And when I tell you they are pumped up about the draft and on what their guys are going to do. And here's the crazy part about it is in the top 15, maybe three or four of their guys might be gone.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened in the top 10 of three or four guys gone? I'm not sure.
I can't tell you for sure. I mean, the LSU team comes to mind, but top 10, like that's a lot. That's a lot. And even the D tackle, there's a chance it's stacked. Did you see Arthur Smith out there?
No, I didn't get a chance. He was gone because they just got done with spring ball. So I just kind of called my man Tim Walton. He's a defensive back coach there. And he kind of brought me in and met some of the players. Man, I'm going to tell you something, man. They got something going on over there because here's the deal. When you have a team that's speaking the same language from when you walk in the building to when you leave the building to the people at the front, you got something special. That means everybody is not just buying in but actually trusting in.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. You could always feel that, too. So, look, this is a team that's obviously a contender for the national champion. So, it's I couldn't imagine the pressure. Like, it's like, beat Michigan, win a national championship, or fail. What the heck?
Or win a national championship, lose to the Wolverines, and act like you never done anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, look, I think back to the days, and we're going to get into the mock, but – I think back to the John Cooper days, man. I know that directly impacts you. And it's just like, man, this guy was such a good coach and you guys were always good. But they act like he, you know, was just a common coach at whatever state university. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is, I was at fault at this too. I put that on the players because I'm gonna list some names on you that were all on the field at the same time: Joey Galloway, Terry Glenn, Buster Tillman, Eddie George. I mean, Lalando Pace,
Ricky Sean Dudley,
Springs, Ricky Dudley. All those guys. But you know the reason why we didn't win is because, and I was a part of it. I'm talking about myself. Is I was so focused on going to the league as of making it a team sport. There's no reason why we shouldn't have won two national championships. Mm-hmm. Period. With all those guys. So, you know, when you talk about building something, everybody has to be on page. And I was one of the guys who wasn't. So I'm kind of sad about that. But at the end of the day, you learn and you grow up and be a grown man and try to figure things out. So, you know, that's how it is.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, speaking of building, I want to go through. We're going to do your mock draft, a three-round mock. I'll do mine in the next segment. And we're going to start. So basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you the top 10 players on the clock, on the board when you're on the clock, and boom, boom, we'll do it that way. We're going to leave trades out. We don't need to get too crazy with it. So we're starting the draft. Number 4 overall, obviously the Tennessee Titans, you're making the pick. Ah, interesting the way this one went. So on the board, this is – boy, I hate to be you. So you have your choice. You could do whatever you want. You got David Bailey, you got Ravel Reese, you got Jeremiah Love. Sonny Styles is off the board, but Caleb Downs is on the board. Francis Maioga as well. So what are you doing there? Do you want more options? I'll give you Mansoor Delane, Carnell Tate, Spencer Fano, Monroe Freeling, the tackle.
Conception, he's there.
Casey Conception, Jordan Tyson.
I think in round one, this is what I would have to do, and this is just my opinion. You got to make your quarterback better. And the reason why you got to make your quarterback better is because if he's playing comfortable, then he's going to be able to go out there and make plays. So what do? You go get a top-notch running back. It's Jeremiah Love. And I'm not just saying this because everybody's picking him. I just love what he brings to the table. And he can run the inside zone and the outside zone. He can catch the ball, you know, in the slot, do those things. But here's a lot of things that we don't talk about. He's a very good blocker. He takes, you know, he takes pride in when the blitz is coming and understanding where it's coming from, and he's going to hit somebody in the mouth. So, you know, at that position, there's a lot of guys there, man. And just like the guys we name. I mean, you got Lemon from USC. You got Jordan Tyson that can be there. You got some offensive linemen, like, you know, the guy from Alabama, Caden Proctor, guys like that you might want to pick but you have to go with a guy that's a game breaker, a guy that just – he reminds me – I'm not saying he's there yet. He reminds me of a Marshall Faulk. And the reason why he reminds me of a Marshall Faulk is because he does so many things. He can run the inside zone, outside zone. You can put him in a slot, catch a pass, use him at wide receiver, put him in a slot, run him with a speed sweep, anything to get his ball in his hands, and he can change the game. That's the reason why in round one I'm going to get a guy like that. Because he's a game breaker.
I'm not mad at that at all. So Jeremiah Love, pick number four. That's the Titans' first round pick. It's going through. You're up on the clock again at 35. You got Peter Woods, the D tackle out of Clemson. You got Colton Hood, the cornerback out of Tennessee. Christian Miller, the D lineman. Caleb Lomu, if you want to get a tackle. Lee Hunter, the D tackle. Zion Young. You got Brandon Cisse. D'Angelo Pons,
yes.
Chris Bell.
Come on, man.
Jacob Rodriguez.
Oh, my gosh.
R. Mason Thompson.
I'm going with Zion Young.
Ooh, so I picked number 35.
Zion Young, and here's the reason why I love this cat. He has a motor. And when you have a guy at that position at the edge, he has a motor, and he's good with his hands. I know he's still got some things to work on. But I'm actually would want to go on him because just imagine him out there with Jeffrey Simmons and different guys that they got in the free agent wise. I mean, he's going to make your defense better. Why? Because he has a motor, and I love him about him. That's why when you said his name, I went crazy because that's a guy that I actually have at 35. So I think that'll be a good pick for the Tennessee Titans. There's a lot of guys on the board, but I think this guy will make your defense better.
I like that. I like that. So far you've addressed playmaker, right?
Yep.
And then you get defensive linemen. So now as it goes through at pick 66 on the clock, you got Skylar Bell out of Connecticut.
Yep.
You got Bryce Lance out of North Dakota State.
Yep.
You got, let's see, David Igbinoghson, Ohio State corner.
Yeah.
You know about him. Mm-hmm. Danny Dennis Sutton, the edge out of Penn State. Let's see who else you got here. Mike Washington Jr., the running back, 4'3" running back at 225 pounds. Obviously, you got a 4'3" back, but Elijah Surratt as well. Zach Branch, Romello Height, the other defensive end. Deion Burks out of Oklahoma, the receiver. What are you thinking there at 66?
You might laugh when I say this, but I'm gonna dig deep on this one. In 1995, there was a guy in the third round that got drafted, the 67th pick, and he came in, you know, still raw a little bit, but could run and can jump and can make some plays. That was Chris Sanders, and then he made the all rookie team. And I'm not bragging; he made the rookie team, averaged 23.5 yards a catch, had 8 touchdowns, did all those great things. This guy named Chris Brazil from University of Tennessee reminds me of a guy named Chris Sanders.
He's gone.
He's gone. You think he's gone?
The available players are the ones that I mentioned.
Oh, but that's – oh, I got to go with them.
Yes, I'll run through it again.
No.
Yeah, because, look, Chris Brazil was there at 66.
He might be there, though. That's why I know he might be there.
But so this is who's there.
Sure.
Skylar Bell, receiver out of Connecticut.
Okay.
Bryce Lance, receiver out of North Dakota State.
Okay.
David Igbinoghson. I always mess his name up. Igbinoghson, the corner out of Ohio State. Antonio Williams, receiver out of Clemson. You got Mike Washington Jr. You got Elijah Surratt. You got Zach Branch.
Yep.
You got Keelan Rutledge, if you want that guard that everybody's talking about. MTSU, he started at. You got Romello Height, the DN, who was opposite David Bailey. He was here for a visit. So those are some of the names. You want to go center, you got Connor Lue, the center out of Auburn. Kamari Ramsey, if you want a safety.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anthony Hill Jr., you want an inside linebacker.
But I think I would go with – what was the cornerback you just named again?
Igbinoghson.
I would. The reason why I would go with him is because you got to understand this is a pass heavy league, and I think that you got to get some corners in here that can make some plays. And when you just named him, I mean, those are one of the guys who can come in. I'm not saying he'll come in and be a shutdown corner. He can come in and play some nickel. I just think that you want to get somebody in here. Since you took Brazil, the receiver guy, I hope he's there. But that guy, that
gone.
If he's gone, oh, you just broke my heart. It just changed my whole thing up. But I just think that, you know, you got to get some secondary guys. I mean, I know they picked up some cats, you know, in free agent wise, but you still got to get some depth at the nickel to make sure that you cover these guys in AFC South, because the AFC South's got some receivers. So I go with the cat that's a defensive back.
Okay, I'm not mad at that. So let's look at
this. It threw me off because I thought Brazil was going to be here. I had it all written down.
Yeah, yeah. You probably would have had to take him at 35.
I know. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
So, okay, so let's look at your draft. So at number 4 overall, you got Jeremiah Love. 35, you got Zion Young. 66, you got David Igbinoghen. So, all right, so when we look at this, they grade your draft overall a B. Jeremiah Love. He's number 3 on the big board. You picked him number 4. That was graded a B. Ironically, Zion Young is number 40. You picked him 35, and that's an A-. But the one that pulled you down is Igbinoghen. But I don't think that's a bad pick. That was
a
C plus. I think you addressed, you know, pretty much 3 significant needs right there. So. Good job with that as my alarm goes off to tell me to pay my bill. listen, hey, that's just me trying to be responsible. So that's not a bad draft. Not
yeah,
at all.
Not bad at all.
All right. I'm not going to poke a hole in it. I probably would have went a receiver 35, a Brazel or Chris Bell. But I'm not mad at that. So, okay, so that's your mock. We're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll come back with mine and you can talk me through it.
Yes, sir.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. We just went through Chris Sanders, his mock draft, and as you heard, it was Jeremiah Love at number 4, Zion Young at 35, and then you had David Igbinoghen at 66. Not bad. Multiple needs were filled, so I do like that. Now it's my turn, and we're going to go ahead and take a look at this here. So we got at pick number 4. Mendoza, mm-hmm. Bailey, and Bain are gone. So on the board, and this is pretty interesting.
Yeah,
Arvell
yeah.
Reese, Carnell Tate, Jeremiah Love, Sonny Styles. Oh man, there's a lot. There's a lot available to me. But you know what?
Yeah.
So at 4, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead. I'll go. We're gonna put a curveball on this. I'm gonna go Arvell Reese at 4.
I knew you
overall.
Were. I knew you.
Yeah, give me the pass rusher. Give me the guy that Mike Bergonzi said you could get a lot of early and use him in a lot of different ways. I definitely like that, and he's a guy who have come in, be a situational rusher. You know, on first and second down, I got Franklin Myers at end, and then third down, or even if it's second and long, hey, bump inside. Hey, Arvell, go in there and bust stuff up. That's basically all I'm telling them to do. You know what
I
mean?
That's not a bad pick because he can run, and we talked about him before, T, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, is he's got great instincts and he covers ground.
Yeah,
without
a doubt.
That's what he has. And I actually saw him, man. He's ginormous. I mean, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
He's a very big dude and physical, man.
Yeah, I got to see him at the combine, man, and you are right. He's a big dude. He's a big dude. So, okay, so here we are at pick 35. Okay, so I want to help Cam Ward, and I know a lot of people say, hey, look, man, you guys mocking Sonny Styles and Arvell Reese, you're just forgetting about Cam Ward. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
You got the rest of the draft to help him out. And so when I look at this, you know, I'm like, hey, I definitely would like to go receiver. I like Chase Bisantis, the Texas A&M. Guard. I think he's an option. But you know what? I'm going the route of wide receiver. And
I
sit here and I look, and, you know, you got Jeremy Bernard, who you know I really like. He's on the board. You got Chris Brazel, who you already talked about. But you know what? You also got Chris Bell. And I look at this and I say, you know, I love free yards. I love guys that catch short passes and have the ability to take it a distance. I love sturdy wide receivers.
Yeah.
I want to work this play action, and I want to hit that strike route, and I want to do it with authority.
Come on.
I know A.J. Brown is a trade option, you know, but guess what? Yeah. I'm getting A.J. Brown light, a guy who told me at the combine that he patterns his game after A.J. Brown, a guy who's also 225 pounds, but just over a 6'2 frame as opposed to, you know, a 6'1 frame. And that's Chris Bell out of Louisville. I'm taking Chris Bell. I understand that he's recovering from the knee injury, but guess what, folks? He was doing box jumps 2 weeks ago. He started running the week after the combine. Give me Chris Bell, wide receiver from Louisville, at number 35. Cam Ward, you are welcome.
Yeah, but see, and that's not a bad pick, though, because, you know, he's explosive now. There's a lot of receivers that can run routes, and there's a lot of receivers that can run the route tree. But you don't have a lot of guys that is explosive running the route tree. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when you're watching him, he's explosive in and out of his cuts. What's your favorite saying? He's got the suddenness. I'm out of there. I'm getting out of there. Yep. I'm getting out of my cut. And that's what you need with a guy that big and that physical, and that can run some routes and can make some plays.
No doubt about it.
Ward.
Yeah, man. No doubt about it. Like, I really like that pick. I like him being there. And so now at 66, it's like, okay, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? So you look at this, and I'm like, man, Keontae Scott is on the board. Oscar Delp's on the board. Ted Hurst is on the board. Julian Neal is on the board. Let's see some other players that are there. You look at, okay, Jadrian Price is on the board. Emmett Johnson is on the board. Let's look at some of the not as much there guard-wise, center-wise. But what about the linebacker position? So I'm thinking, okay, at 66, the guy I was targeting at 66 was Anthony Hill Jr. He's long gone. So let's look at some of these. Who else is there? Cornerback. You know what? I'm going to go ahead. This is the route I'm going. Okay. I'm going to go ahead. Give me Keontae Scott, cornerback out of Miami. Yeah, give me him, and now I got that's my nickel. That's my nickel. And look, I like Marcus Harris, but I know when you look at what Robert Saleh wants out of that position, he wants it to be a little more sturdy, a little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. You look at Keontae Scott. Hey, listen, you saw the game. What was that? He had the pick six.
Yeah.
You saw that in the playoffs, and then this is a player that, you know, you make Cam Ward happy too, because you're getting a guy that out of the U. But I mean, more importantly, you know, at 5'11", just around 200 pounds, he's a bigger, more sturdy option for you that can play that nickel role, and he's someone that I think, you know, is almost like a wheel linebacker in sub package. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you definitely like that. Again, you saw the big play that he had in the playoffs. And he's one of those ones that helps change the culture. Because you look at the mindset, the way that he plays, the emotion, the passion that he plays with. Go ahead and give me Keontae Scott, cornerback, nickelback. That's what I'm putting him in out of Miami.
Yeah, and in that position, when you talk about position, you play nickelback and all that, you want a Tasmanian devil. And I'm going to explain what I mean. You want a Courtland Finnegan. And when I say a Courtland Finnegan, to where – when you practice against this guy, those are the guys you want to fight, because they're always hands. They're all around you. They're consistently talking stuff. You want a guy in there to come and change your culture. I'm not saying the culture was bad with the Tennessee Titans, but you're bringing in a guy that's going to put his hands on. He's going to talk stuff to you. He's going to be always be in your face, and he's going to be one of those guys that you want to fight. When I say a Tasmanian devil, I'm not calling him a devil, folks. That's not what I'm saying. A guy that wherever he goes, he's always making noise. He's always creating a whirlwind. He's always in the mix of a pile. He's always in the mix of trash talking. You want a guy like that on your defense, a guy you love to hate. So when you bring him in there with Jeffrey Simmons, that's talking a lot of noise. You got, you know, the guys that they got a free agent-wise, that's talking a lot of noise. And you bring this cat in here, you just added more fuel to the fire.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. I ain't going to lie. I'm happy with this haul, man. I'm really happy with this haul. So let's see what grade they give it. Overall grade of A-. Now, this is – I'm going to tell you what made the difference. Okay. I think Abe Nogginson is a good corner.
Yeah.
But it's the grade at the back end at 66. They graded your pick a 66, a C plus. They gave mine a B plus.
Okay,
that
okay.
was the difference. Okay. But to me,
right.
You can't go wrong either way with those players, because Igbin Noxon is a guy. You put him out. He gives you depth, and he's a guy that could play on the outside for you. And look, we already know, like we've seen, because remember going into last year, everybody was like, "Oh, cornerback, you don't have to worry about that position." And then you know, 3-4 games in, you're like, "Whoa, cornerback!" You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
In review, Arvell Reese at number 4, that was an A plus. Chris Bell at 35, that was a B. Keontae Scott at 66 is a B plus. So. Yeah, man, it's fun to go through those exercises.
It is, man.
When you look at this draft, though, at number 4 overall, if it's Sonny Styles, like, what do you say to the fans if it's Sonny Styles?
You cheer up and down. I mean, you cheer up and down. You high-five somebody because you didn't just get a player at 4. You got an impact player, and they're different. You got a guy that can just make plays here and there, but when you bring a Sonny Styles in there that is just a physical specimen. I mean, what 6'5", 200-something pounds, a guy that can run, a guy that has great instincts, a guy that's going to run through your face. But here's what he brings to the table. Yes, he's an impact player, but he's always in position to make plays. That's the difference. So when you get – if they say, well, why did y'all get Sonny Styles? Sit at this table and let me tell you what he did at Ohio State. Let me tell you what he brought. Let me tell you the attitude that he brings. Let me tell you his instincts. Let me tell you his he's always in position. Those are the kind of cats that you want on your team.
No doubt about it, man. Yeah, it's fun going through that. And one last thing,
but
we
man.
Got a couple minutes because I'm curious your take on this because I see this and I get and you had Love as your guy at number 4, but you look at number 3 to the Cardinals. You know, the discourse now is, okay, that's a possibility, but guess what? He suddenly becomes the top-paid running back in the league, and this is why you don't take running backs early, and the third. Quick 90 seconds. What are your thoughts on that, man?
I mean, you got to understand that this is a guy with Jeremiah Love that can set up your franchise for years and years to come, because you don't just have a guy that's just coming here just to make plays here and there and then he's off the field. This is a guy that can make plays for your organization over and over and over again. Let me give you a perfect example. Eddie George, when they picked him in the 1996 draft, here's a guy who's still the face of the franchise, a guy that has a possibility to be a Hall of Famer. Why? Because he was consistently been an impact player. You got the same thing with Jeremiah Love. Even though people say you can get a running back here or there, but you can't get an impact player that's going to help you generation to generation to generation. This is a one-time guy that you have to pick up, and I hope we get Jeremiah Love.
There it is right there, man. Appreciate you coming on. Oh, man, appreciate I know you got guys. A busy weekend with draft and stuff like that, so I'm looking forward to it, man. We'll go ahead keep this thing rolling, man.
Absolutely.
There you have it right there. Chris Sanders, Run TMC times 2. We gave you both our mock drafts. Folks, the draft is here. It's upon us. So definitely keep tuned in, man. Keep hope alive, right? That's what they say, regardless of who the pick is, man. So we'll definitely be back on, and we'll go back through the draft once it's over next week. So definitely continue to check us out. Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, everywhere you get your fine listening materials. Search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.